149 at the Wacker. David Warner on 84 at the moment, so heading towards another century. And Usman Khawaja also joining him out in the middle at the moment. Jamie Briggs is with me in the studio, the Minister for Cities and the Built Environment. What does that mean, the Minister for Cities and the Built Environment?
Well, it means that we need to work on policies. So when I've got a 2GB interview with Ben Fordham on a Friday afternoon at 4:30 in the Sydney rain, I can get here on time.
What is built environment? Is that a fancy word for buildings?
Yeah, well, it's a fancy word for where we live, I think, and making Sydney and Melbourne and Adelaide and all of our major centres attractive for Australia's best talent and the global best talent to want to work and live in our cities. And we do have great cities, we all know that, but we've got challenges with them. And
but they come to a screeching halt, don't they, when, you know, like when there's weather like this, and, you know, I'm getting bombarded with, I could show you the emails flowing in at the moment every single second. I got an email coming in from somewhere else that, and I don't expect you to be able to sort that out, but as convenient as they are when no one's using them, when we all choose to use them at once, they do come to a screeching halt, don't they?
Yeah, and people sort of don't necessarily drive as well as they normally do in the rain sometimes, and that adds to the pressure on the network, that's for sure. But I think it gets to a problem we've had for a long time, which is under investment in infrastructure. And so infrastructure is a big part of the story, but so is making our cities sustainable and livable, clean air, clean water. We want places where we want to be. But really the key challenge, I think, is getting housing where people need it close to the jobs. And at the moment, that's a big challenge in places like Sydney. People are spending too much time travelling too far to get to their house, to their job.
Okay, let me ask you about Badgerys Creek, because I can remember when this was announced, and I remember very, very early on asking the question, why would you build a second international airport for Sydney at Badgerys Creek and not have a rail line?
Mm.
And now, ever since, I've just been watching one by one, and everyone seems to be saying similar things, and I think even the Prime Minister's wife, Lucy Turnbull, said it, Bill Shorten said it. Is that now where we're headed, that this is going to be a reality?
Well, I think what we are going to do is have a look at what you need rail in Western Sydney for. It's not just about rail for an airport, because clearly in the early stages of the airport you won't have the capacity to justify building a railway line, but there's clearly capacity in Western Sydney that needs access to the rail network. So what the study's about that we announced today is to work with the New South Wales government to ensure we've got the best plan for the rail for the future. We need to look at our cities in a systematic approach. Think about our land use. So rather than just build housing and then work out later how we're going to service it with infrastructure, we need to have these thinking about these things all together.
That's not the way that it's been done, though. And we understand why. You don't build things with 20/20 hindsight, right?
Yeah.
It's only later on that you look back and go, hang on a moment, why is this four lanes and not six or eight? I mean, it's the classic case of, and not only Sydney, let's face it, it's not an Australian problem, it's around the world.
It is, but there are other places that are getting this right quicker than what we are. London's a good example where they've got the Greater London Authority. It's a very powerful body. It makes a lot of decisions. It's got a lot of forward planning. And there's challenges in London, absolutely, which are different to ours. But
so if you like the London model, then you'll support a congestion tax for Sydney?
Well, look, I don't think it's a congestion tax, but at some point we will have to have a discussion about how we price our roads, because people at the moment pay to use our roads through fuel excise.
Mm.
That's becoming quite an unfair tax, because if you're living out in Penrith, for instance, and driving a 2002 Commodore, you're paying far more to use the road network than if you live in...
They're also paying all the tolls.
Yeah, they're paying tolls. If you live in Marrickville and you're, dare I say, a hipster, and you're using driving a Prius, you're paying far less, because we pay at the moment through what's known as fuel excise, in essence, and registration and driver's licence.
So you launch a war on hipsters. I like the sound of this.
No, we want to embrace hipsters, but the problem is the hipsters' cars, the Teslas of the world, don't use fuel. And at the moment, that's the only way you pay to use the road network. Well, it's one of the major ways you pay to use the road network. So we need to have that discussion as well.
Jamie Briggs, the Minister for Cities, joining us in the studio. Have you heard what happened to the Justice Minister, Michael Keenan, today?
I've got a text message from another one of his ministerial colleagues. The three of us are very close. Stephen Chobo texted me saying, you've got to see the footage of our mate Keno.
Let me play it for you. This is the Justice Minister, Michael Keenan.
You appreciate that the way this threat has evolved in the eastern states.
That's him swallowing a fly. Have you ever had to fly into the mouth during a press conference? You're not supposed to laugh, Jamie Griggs. He's your colleague.
Oh, that's terrific. I can't wait to see the footage.
Well, yeah, I haven't seen the footage just yet. Australia won for 157 at the Wacker, by the way, and I notice you're keeping a keen eye on the cricket as well. David Warner, how good is he?
He's a jet, isn't he? He is flying at the moment. And
did he get a century in both innings?
Yeah, he did.
First
this
test.
Be three in a row. Yeah, isn't it nice to do this to the New Zealanders as well?
Absolutely. So Usman Khawaja on 23, David Warner on 91.
It's 38 in Perth as well, so they're standing out in that.
Yeah, beautiful weather. Now, listen, the story around yesterday, I didn't get too excited by all this. I know others did, but Julie Bishop's Chief of Staff attending the meeting of Liberal MPs plotting against Tony Abbott the night before the spill. Big deal or not?
Look, it is what it is. It's an ugly time. It's an awful time for everyone who went through it. I don't think anyone enjoyed it. I think Malcolm Turnbull's made the point that he didn't enjoy the process either. I mean, he obviously wanted the job and made that decision to take the course that he did. But, you know, I don't think there's much point us going through over and over these events.
Would you like to be leader one day?
mate, I want to...
One day in a far, far away land?
Peter Costello once said that every member of parliament from the most uncapable backbencher right through to probably himself carries the leadership, the field marshal baton in their look, I think the reality is it is an extraordinary privilege to be in parliament. It's an extraordinary and even greater privilege to be serving in a ministry, and how long that lasts is at the will ultimately of the good people of Mayo.
Can I give you a flashback for just a moment?
Here we go.
All right, here we go. The King Elvis Presley. Now, this reportedly was the song that was playing when the marble table broke in the Prime Ministerial suite on the night of the leadership spill. It was the 14th of September. Malcolm Turnbull defeated Tony Abbott 54-44. There was a party hosted by Mr. Abbott. There were rumours going around that you, Jamie Briggs, were dancing on a table when the marble table broke. The next day, you were injured and being pushed around in a wheelchair by one of your colleagues. Now, Tony Abbott has since paid the bill for the broken marble table. I contacted you at the time and said, look, if this is true, this is fantastic. You will go down in Australian folklore as the politician who was dancing on a table in Parliament House and accidentally broke the marble table. But so far, you have denied all charges.
Well, look, let me... Repeat what I've said.
No, don't repeat what you've already said.
No, there was a report.
Don't repeat what you've already said. We just want to know. I want it to be you. No. I want it to be you. I think it'll be great for your credibility. I don't think it's ever hurt anyone in their life. I mean, look at Bob Hawke sculling a beer at the SCG. Did it hurt Hawkey? Has that ever hurt Hawkey? K-Rudd going into the strip club. I mean, there's no strip club. There's no sculling beer. All you were doing was busting a move to the King, and who could help you? And the table broke. Is it such a big deal?
Well, it would... Look, I would love to play with the story, but I had left by that point. I'd already injured my knee in hijinks with the former Prime Minister, as has been reported.
What happened?
Well, look, everyone knows that Tony Abbott is a very fit man. He's a very strong man, and I'm not at the peak of my powers as far as fitness and strength is concerned, and I lost.
I've got to tell you, I've been man-hugged by Tony Abbott several times, and I heard what I thought was a rib cracking while he was doing to me. I'm not joking.
The sternum crack.
I heard a noise. I heard a crack as he... I mean, he is made of concrete, isn't he?
He's a very,
what
very
strong man.
What did
he do? Did he pick
man.
You up, or what did he do?
Well, look, we were mucking around, let me put it that way.
Don't be nervous. It's just you, me and Elvis here.
No, well, look, I went to tackle him. I ran at him and missed. And the rest is history. I then limped back to my office and licked my wounds. And then the table occurred after that, so you're going to have to ask Joe Hockey.
Joe Hockey broke the table.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that Joe Hockey was still there. And look, I don't think you could describe it as a party. It was a wake. And look, it was one of those nights when, you know, as you know, Ben, very well, Joe Hockey and I have been best friends for a long time. We lived together in Canberra. It was a very difficult time for him. And I think what you do as friends in that circumstance is you get around your mates. And we did that. Tony Abbott has gone through something which very few people ever understand. I mean, the thing about politics is you live your life through the public prism.